You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up, loneliness comes with a surprising group of negative health outcomes. We'll find out why and what can be done to help people going through lonely times in their lives. First, we feature Wisconsin Life segments every Monday and Wednesday here on Central Time, but what you may not know is that there's a companion program that airs on Wisconsin Public Television, and the fourth season will premiere this Thursday. Trevor Keller is with us now to give us a preview of that new season. He's a producer for Wisconsin Life on Wisconsin Public Television. Trevor, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
Well, what's different in this fourth season of Wisconsin Life?
Well, I don't know if I'd say different. I think we're always looking for unusual, interesting stories around Wisconsin. We try to cover every corner of the state and try to tell a variety of stories from sports to arts to culture to science, nature, and everything in between. So I think we just try to cover a nice diversity of stories.
And how do you find the stories that you cover?
Well, a wide range of, we have people email us, we look on our own, we read, you know, magazine articles, newspapers, we just meet people out in the community, a wide variety. We're always looking for story ideas, and you can always go on our website, wisconsinlife.org, and submit story ideas as well, but we're always looking, you know, online, meeting people in person, everything in between, really.
And I suppose as a producer for Wisconsin Life, you get to see firsthand a lot of things about the state that might surprise you. Did you have a lot of those this time around, things that you thought, gosh, I didn't know that that was a thing that happened here in Wisconsin?
I think most of the time, I mean, sometimes you do go into it with an idea where, oh, maybe I would like to find somebody who does X, Y, or Z, and then you find them, and maybe they do that thing even better than you expected. But I think most of the time, you're just impressed at the skill and dedication it takes to do whatever it is the person may be doing.
And a lot of the people in the show are, you know, what you might call real people. They're not professionals in the media. They're not used to probably being in front of a camera. So what do you do to put people at ease and just help them relax into telling their story and sharing their lives with you?
Well, we try really hard to not think of it as a TV production. At least I don't. I try to approach it, you know, you just talk to people like you would talk to a normal person and try not to focus on the fact that there's a camera there or a microphone or anything of that nature. And you just try to approach it like a conversation. And usually most of the subjects we have are, you know, pretty personable and excited to talk about whatever it is we're there to talk with them about.
Well, we're going to listen to some clips from the show, but I wonder if before we dive into that, if you could just give us a little primer on some of the variety, the different things that we'll find in this complete season.
Yeah, well, when the season starts on Thursday, our first episode, one of the stories I did is about a sculptor named Brian Berenson, and he sculpts wood and stone carvings, but what's really interesting is he also works with an Austrian Mardi Gras group in Milwaukee, and so during Mardi Gras season in January to Easter, they perform around Milwaukee, and what they do is they wear these almost creepy, scary wooden masks, and they do this series of dances. They play at all these like German-themed events around Milwaukee, and so Brian is the sculptor for those dancers, and so being able to go into his shop and see him work and do what he does is really fascinating.
And what else have you got?
Well, we have a story about a team of students from UW-Barron County, which is up north of Eau Claire, and they built a Rube Goldberg machine. I don't know if you know what a Rube Goldberg machine is.
Refresh us.
Yeah, it's kind of like the board game Mousetrap. And so you're trying to do a series of steps to create or to solve a simple task. And so what these students did is they built a Rube Goldberg machine that paid homage to Nikola Tesla, and they took it to the national competition in Columbus, Ohio, which is what they have every year. And I won't say how they did, but they did very well. And for them, it was kind of a once-in-a-lifetime experience. So it was really fun to see them go through the process and how they achieved what they did.
Yeah, we've got a clip of that. Let's take a listen.
We're kind of a low-budget operation, so we used our family Explorer and my husband's ice shack.
And drove all the way down to Columbus, Ohio.
That's how everyone knew we were from Wisconsin.
Yep.
No one else pulled up in the ice shack.
It quickly became apparent they were in the big leagues now.
So we were up against the big dogs in the engineering world. There were two teams from Penn State. There were three teams from Purdue. University of Texas, University of Tennessee, Arizona State University.
All these other big engineering schools that have, you know, put thousands and thousands of dollars into their machines.
And I think we had about a tool case full of hand tools.
At a theater shop.
And that's from a clip from a Wisconsin team participating in a Rube Goldberg competition. That must have been a really fun story to shoot. What was their machine like?
Well, it was 45 steps, and they kept it very basic. So it was like a marble going down a tube and then kind of knocking another device over, which knocks another device over. And eventually it comes around to where there's two RC race cars, and they race around the bottom of the track or the bottom of the machine. And then they knock over a wall, which opens an umbrella. And they had like almost like a life-size replica of Nikola Tesla sitting on one edge of the machine, and it's holding an umbrella, which is what the task was for that year's competition, was to open an umbrella. So when it goes through the 45 steps, which happens in about 45 seconds, so it's very fast. So if you aren't paying attention, you'll miss it. But it was very fun to see, and it was interesting to see the amount of work that went into it, and the fact that, like they mentioned in the clip, they didn't have a lot of money. Like some of the other teams that they faced in this competition had thousands of dollars and sponsors and all this stuff, and they basically had some wood, pieces of wood, some tools, and a theater shop to build it in.
Wow. Well, that's pretty cool. So that one is, what is that one airing?
I don't think we have a specific air date. It's later in the season. I think it'll be in November, but don't quote me on that.
Well, we're talking about the new season of Wisconsin Life. It airs at 7 o'clock on Thursdays on Wisconsin Public Television. And Trevor Keller is with us. He's a producer on the Wisconsin Public Television version of Wisconsin Life. And you mentioned that mask maker, Trevor, and we have a little bit of audio from that particular episode as well, and let's listen to that.
I was diagnosed with arthritis when I was 21 years old. I was a diesel mechanic, and I just couldn't do it anymore. I was literally crawling on my knees. And so my wife and I decided to take a vacation over in Austria to check out the school that we read about in a magazine. A wood carving school. And so I learned how to do this over in Austria and brought it with me here to America. If I was a perfectly healthy person, you know, I could just probably go at it all day long. I can't stand too long and I can't sit too long. So I do a combination of the two, and it seems to work out.
Nice. So he's dealing with some arthritis in the hands there, it sounds like, but it sounds like it's something he's doing a labor of love and doing amazing creative work anyway. Can you describe what these masks look like?
It's pretty hard unless you see them, but it's a lot of them are, they're just almost cartoonish faces, and sometimes they have misshapen features, and they're supposed to be creepy, and the idea is when they perform in this Mardi Gras club, the dances are supposed to scare away winter. So that's why they're scary. So even though they are scary, people seem to have fun when you go to one of these events where they're dancing. It seems to be fun, and everybody gets out and dances and has a good time, and so the idea is basically it's based off the Austrian traditions where they try to scare away winter.
Nice. Well, that sounds like a good idea here in Wisconsin. Let's talk about another one that you've told us you're doing. This is a program, creative program for veterans who are living with PTSD. Set this one up a little bit. What's in this one?
Yeah, this was a really amazing story to work on. It takes place at the Milwaukee VA Hospital, and it's called Feast of Crispian, and it's based off Shakespeare. And what it is there's these three actors who run this program, and one of them, I think two of them have a therapy background. And so what they basically do are weekend workshops where they bring in veterans from the VA who have either PTSD, addiction issues, other issues that they're just facing in their lives. And they basically run them through 3-day Shakespeare intensives. And so it's like acting, it's not just classes, but they actually act out scenes, and they do it kind of in short bits to kind of help these veterans who don't have much experience acting. And it was really, I can't even really describe how amazing this was to see in person. You kind of don't know what to expect when you go into a situation like this. Oh, we have veterans who have never acted before. What's this going to be like? But it was a very moving experience to see in person.
Here's a little taste of that one.
There are three of us that are the founders of Feast of Crispian. All of us are professional actors. The main part of our program is that we put them through Shakespeare scenes, and we have special techniques. One of us stands at their shoulder and reads a half a line or a full line to them, and then they can repeat it back. in any way they want.
I shall be glad to learn of noble men. I shall be glad to learn of noble men.
It's almost like a guide. You know what I mean? A Jiminy Cricket in your ear.
But I do love thee.
But I do love thee.
We're thinking about it in terms of giving them some kind of emotional pop.
Oh, that sounds pretty extraordinary. Do you have a sense at all from having spent some time with this creative program why this Shakespeare works, what he channels?
Well, I think part of it is that the language does speak a lot in emotion. There's a lot of emotion in Shakespeare. But also part of it is I think it allows them, and Nancy Smith Watson, who's the director of the program, whose voice you heard there, she speaks to this in the piece, that it allows them to express their emotions without directly expressing their emotions. And especially when you've had something like PTSD, a lot of these folks come in, they haven't expressed their emotions in a long time, or they're repressing their emotions. So this allows them to emote and express their emotions in a way without actually sitting down and saying, oh, I feel this way, or oh, I have this rage or this love or whatever it is I cannot get out of me. This kind of allows them an outlet. And so it's amazing because I spent 3 days with them, and from start to finish, it was amazing seeing some of these veterans come in kind of shy, backward, and by the end, and they're out there just letting it rip out on the floor, fully into the roles that they were playing.
Oh, I can't wait for that one. That sounds great. And finally, I know you well, there's a lot of things you look at, but you also told us about the Rubik's Cube record holder in Wanakee.
Yeah, there's a young man in Wanakee, and this is one where I've always been interested in the Rubik's Cube. For the record, I'm not any good at the Rubik's Cube, but I found a kid and he can do a Rubik's Cube in 9 to 11 seconds. He averages about 10 seconds a go around.
9 to 11 seconds.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing to see in person. Wow. And he can also do it with his feet. He can do it blindfolded and all of the above. Like, it's really an amazing story.
Wow. And how does he use that skill?
Right now, just entering competitions around the country, which he does, and he does very well in. And he enters competitions around the country and competes and just kind of uses it as a fun thing to do in his free time.
Well, Trevor, we're looking forward. Thank you so much for telling us about it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
That was Trevor Keller, producer of Wisconsin Life, and he joined us there to talk about the new season, which starts this Thursday at 7 o'clock. And you can check your local Wisconsin Public Television listings for other times and other information. And we also have a link to the show's website on the Central Time Facebook page. Coming up after the news, we'll find out why our guest says loneliness is a public health issue, and it's time to start taking it seriously. I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.